not part of Transforming Word, who have chosen to worship with us today. And you know, my prayer is that this really will be a time of worship. I want to talk to you today about being thankful. So I just want everybody to just take a moment and just pause whatever the little extra things that you're doing, because I know that when we're looking at the YouTube or the Facebook, we tend to get distracted and we start to do other things. But today, let's just take time and just be thankful, and let's be worshipful in doing so. Amen? Amen. Say amen, Pastor. All righty then. God bless you. Let us pray. Father God, I want to thank you for this awesome privilege to gather in the manner that we're gathering, to be even able to know, Lord God, that you are worthy of the praise today. I thank you, Father God, that your word is alive, that your word is powerful, Lord God. I thank you that your word is life-giving, Father God. I thank you this day for the Holy Ghost, who helps us see and know and understand your heart's desire concerning us, helps us to understand your will and your way. I thank you for the Holy Ghost, who leads and guides and directs us into all truth. I thank you for the Holy Ghost, who shows us things to come. I thank you, Father God, for the Holy Ghost, who is the one who will see us from this day until the day of Jesus Christ. Father God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for his blood sacrifice. I thank you for his life that he laid down that we might live again. Father, I just thank you right now that because of Jesus, all who believe you sit at your right hand in Jesus Christ, far above all darkness and all evil forces. I just thank you, Father God, right now that in this day we can give you thanks because you are good. You are powerful. You are our safe place. You are the lover and the keeper of our souls. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And all of us, please say amen together. Glory to God. Well, we're nearing the end of 2020. And we're entering into the holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year. And these are times of great celebration for us normally. Sometimes we're nostalgic around this time of year, but for the most part, we're celebrating. And I know that right now there are a number of people that are saying, 2020 be gone. Just be gone. We did that for 2019, and we ended up with 2020. So we don't know what tomorrow holds. But we do know who holds tomorrow. And that's where we want to focus today. We want to focus on the Lord himself and not so much our circumstances or the times that we're in which we're living, but we want to focus on the Lord himself. We certainly don't want to repeat 2020. There's been so much tragedy. There's been so much sorrow. There's been so much heartbreak. And for so many people, it's been much more than it has been for other people. It has been very real to some people, and to others it has not been real at all. As I stand here today, the horrors of COVID-19 are still wreaking havoc in the lives of so many people, whether directly or indirectly. And so there's a lot of hurting going on right now. Not to mention, without COVID-19, we already have enough trouble. But COVID-19 has overshadowed so many things. But there are people who have other problems that are just as real to them as COVID-19. I need you to hang with me for a minute here. This is not going to be doom and gloom, but I want you to see where we have been and where so many of us have concentrated our energy and not looked to the Lord in the way that we should have. So this morning, I want you to join me as we take a gaze at the Lord himself. And when I say gaze, that means to take a good, hard look at the Lord himself. I'm not diminishing how real your problems are. I'm not taking anything away from how bad it's been. But I do want you to look at the one who is keeping you in all of it. A couple of mornings ago, I was awakened with a praise of thanksgiving in my heart. I felt sober. I didn't feel wild and giddy. I just felt just like thankful. Just, God, I'm so grateful. And it was after having a week of this mishap and that mishap. Nothing big, but just little things that had gone wrong. But you know how it is, after you have enough of them, they start to get irritated. And so as I laid down that night, I did give God thanks, but not the way I did when I woke up the following morning. I realized that I have so much to be thankful for, no matter what I'm going through. And I'm going to come back to this, but I was walking around Walmart yesterday morning, and there was this little girl that just was walking like this, and she was just greeting everybody. And then when she got to me, she said, "Good morning." I said, "Well, good morning." She said, I'm not crazy or anything, but I just got set free from the guy who always beat me, and I'm just thankful this morning." So she and I celebrated together that she's not going to be getting any more whippings from him. And she just kept going to the store, just celebrating and talking to people about God, that God had taken care of her problem and she didn't have to go through it anymore. And so, you know what? I don't know what yours is today, but that was hers. And that's why I'm saying, take a moment with me and let's look at the Lord and let's give him thanks. So, yesterday morning, before I met the lady, I awakened to this verse in Psalm 68:19 that says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Blessed be the Lord. Let's bow our knees to the Lord. Let's give God his due, his honor, his respect. The Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. And you know, in the past, I've looked at that like God is just loading me down with benefits, but it goes further than that. It means that the Lord is upholding us and carrying us, and that itself is a great benefit. But as he's carrying us, he's dispelling the things that would destroy us, and he's making us safe in his arms, and he's making us safe in his bosom, and he's not allowing anything to destroy or to cancel his goodness in our lives, his salvation in our lives. And so he says, "Blessed be the God," hallelujah, "who daily," not sometimes, but daily, "loadeth us with benefits." Even the days when you're having struggles, that day there's a benefit for you. That day the Lord is keeping you. That day the Lord somehow is going to show himself mighty and strong in your life. So daily, on a daily basis, on your worst day, the Lord has benefit for you. Let me read the rest of this. "Even the God of our salvation," and then he said, "Selah," think about this. And so when you think of God being the God of our salvation, he's the God of our comfort. He's the God of our comfort in sorrow. He's the God who delivers us. He's the God of our health. He's the God of our victory. He's the God of our prosperity. He is the God who rescues us in the face of the enemy. He's the God who is our safe place when danger is around. He's the God who's the fortified wall when things try to fall in on us. He's the God who is the peace in the storm. Let's bless the Lord who is all around our protection and our keeper. Let's bend our knee, the scripture is saying, to this God and to honor him. It didn't say you had to be out of trouble, but you had to bless the God, or we need to bless the God who is the one who keeps us in all of these situations. And so then my mind went to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, where the Apostle Paul says, and in a minute I'm going to read this passage from the Amplified, but the Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Notice, he didn't say, delight yourself in the situation. Delight yourself in the sickness. Delight yourself in the problem with your children. Delight yourself in the lack of finances. But delight yourself in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord, he said. Please note that he is drawing our attention away from the problem, as real as it is, to the Lord, who is the solution to every problem. He's not saying rejoice because your heart has been broken. He's not saying rejoice because you have a loss. He's not saying rejoice because the doctor gave you a dire report. But he's saying rejoice in the Lord. Now I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read that, but I want you to see where the Apostle Paul is when he's writing this. He's in prison. He's in chains. The prison of his days were not like the prisons that we have today. They didn't have a warm bed to sleep in or an air-conditioned place in the heat of the summer. He didn't have a yard to go out into and to stretch his legs. He didn't have TV. He didn't have a gym. I ministered in a prison one time. They had a gym. They had it better in there than some folk have it on the outside. He didn't have a gym. He didn't have regular meals every day. Sometimes he didn't get to eat at all. He had to live in the filth from his own body and the filth that was in that place. They didn't come in and clean it up for him. He had horrendous conditions. Yet with all of this going on with him, he was able to say rejoice. So his gladness was not because of where he was, but because of who was keeping him where he was. He took that moment to honor God and to tell us, no matter what your circumstances, my God, I'm talking to somebody today, even if it's just myself, no matter what your circumstances are, rejoice in the Lord, because in him is your salvation. He's the one who will rescue you, and he will rescue you in time. Some of us are saying, when, Lord? Doesn't matter. Because when you're looking at him, you just know it's going to take place. And then you get to the place where even if it doesn't, my God, even if you don't deliver me, and that's how many saints, that was the point that so many saints who have gone before us have been. They got to the place where the circumstance or the situation they were in was not going to be changed. But they had such confidence and such love and such appreciation for God and his covenant with us and what we have as far as life is concerned. They came to the place where they realized that life here now, anything happening now, is not going to last. But on the other side of this, our God is bigger than this. And on the other side of this is life that, oh my, that is so big, so much, so powerful, that what I'm going through today does not compare to where I'm going. It doesn't compare to what God is building in me. It doesn't compare to the person that God is rising up out of the ashes, that God is raising up out of the ashes. It doesn't compare these things that are happening to me. He's in that state. He's in that place. And he's telling us, listen, you can get past how you feel about something if you'll just look at the Lord and see him in all of his glory. And you will know that what is happening to you in the moment does not even compare to what God is doing to keep you and to make you. Someone mentioned in Sunday school this morning, this song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And the writer wrote that song after he had lost his family at sea. And he wanted to sail on a ship and go to the place where he had lost his family. And they took him out there. And at that point where they said, "This is about where the ship went down," he began to sing, "It is well with my soul." In other words, "God, I'm satisfied with you. Even in my pain, I'm satisfied with you." And that satisfaction outweighed and was heavier than and more than the sorrow that he felt. Here's what God is wanting us to get. That he to us is more than anything that we could ever go through. And God is saying today, if you'll just be thankful, it will raise your heart to a place where you will have a different way of looking at life. Your perspective will be different to the point where you'll come to see things not as you see them now. Let me read to you from the Amplified. Now remember, this man is in prison, and the Holy Ghost is able to get past his own feelings, the pain that is in his body. I mean, I don't know if he's cold that day or if he's hot that day. I don't know what the thing is. I don't know if the chains are cutting into him or not. I don't know what's going on with him. But he's able to move beyond what he's feeling. He's able to move beyond. You see, the power of God working in your life will bring you to the place where it won't be about you. That'll be bigger than you. In the moment that you're suffering most, you'll be able to say, "It is well with my soul." You'll be able to rejoice, and you'll be able to rejoice with honesty and purity of heart. God is purifying, he's sanctifying every one of us, every situation we're in, if we will only say, "Yes, Lord, thank you. Not for the trouble, but thank you in the trouble for being God." Philippians 4, and I'm going to read verses 4 through 4 through 9. Okay, let's read. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, take pleasure in him. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit, your graciousness, unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, and patience be known to all people. The Lord is near. The Lord is at hand." He's not off in the blue sky somewhere. God is right here, right now. Right now, where you sit, God is right there. Whatever your trouble, whatever your sorrow, whatever your misunderstanding, God is right there. Woo. My God, I had to tell somebody recently, don't allow somebody else's sin cause you to doubt God. Don't let somebody else's walk with God cause you to doubt God's righteousness. Come on, church. God is who he is. I don't care what his folk act like. "Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, my God, and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word." I'm going to read that part again. "Whatever is right and confirmed by God's word." I'm going to read that again. "Whatever is right and confirmed by God's word. Whatever is pure and wholesome. Whatever is lovely and brings peace. Whatever is admirable and of a good repute. If there is any excellence. If there is anything worthy of praise. Think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. The things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things in daily life. In daily life. And the God who is the source of peace, my God, and well-being will be with you. Writing from a prison cell, nothing like the ones we have today. Writing from a hard place, he said to us when we find ourselves in a hard place, when we find ourselves in 2020, don't be swayed by your trouble. Don't become hopeless because of your trouble. Don't start to question the integrity of God's heart because of your trouble. Don't begin to question God's ways because of your trouble. Don't look at your situation and figure this is the end for me. No, trust God who has promised you so much more. You see, our God has covenant with us that he made way back with Abraham, my God, and sealed in Jesus Christ. Say it again. He made the covenant with Abraham and he sealed it in Jesus Christ that he is going to bless and he's going to multiply you. He never told you that you wouldn't have sorrow, but he said in your sorrow, he's going to make you strong. He's going to strengthen you to the point where you'll say, I can do this. You see, when I think about the saints who went before us, the ones who were martyred for what they believed, people who were put to death, horrible deaths, cut in half while they sang songs of glory. When I think about those people who would rather suffer than to denounce Christ, I know that there's some way to believe God. There is some power to believe God so much so that you will see this as a passing time, a passing thing, and I refuse to allow these things that are passing set me off my track, off my journey. Make me forget who my God is. As a matter of fact, I'm going to find my God in the midst of all of this. I'm going to find God somewhere in this thing. Hallelujah. 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 The apostle says to us, don't you let God go. Rather, he said, rejoice. Rejoice. Be glad. That's it. Yeah, be glad. Like your mama used to say, I'm whipping you for your own good back in the day. You know, before they sent people to jail for whipping their kids. Back in the day when they whipped us with iron cords and everything else, you know, trying to come out the iron, y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. But listen, I'm whipping you for your own good. Give me that belt and let me whip you with it and see how you think it's for your own good. Now, you know I can say that because I'm still standing here. Now, with Ruby, not Ruby or Lee Brookins, Cubby Brookins. But I sure had some thoughts, but I didn't do it. I didn't understand in those days what she understood. I didn't see what she could see. And today you don't understand what God understands. You don't see what God sees. The Bible says that we know in part, at best. But then the time is going to come when we're going to know all of it. You're going to understand all of it. Your worst day. You're going to understand why it went the way it went. My God, I need somebody to hear me today. The Lord is saying, be thankful and rejoice. Be glad in me, not for the trouble, but for me and how I'm keeping you. He's God Almighty. Now, Psalm 136 has just been ringing in my heart for a week now. And I'm going to read it to you. Hallelujah. Psalm 136 has just been ringing in my heart. It gives us a panoramic view of the Lord himself and how he works with us and how he keeps us. So I'm going to start reading this to you. Hallelujah. Just a moment here. Psalm 136. Oh God, I pray that someone is hearing this today. My God, somebody who's broken today, somebody who's feeling empty today. Father God, somebody who's given up. I know that everybody's not feeling that way today, but sometimes we just need to come aside, and we need to mourn with those who mourn, and we need to take time and patience with those who are not as strong as some of us think we are. Because we all have those days. We always have those days when it's harder than me. It's bigger than me. It overwhelms me. This may not be your day, so be patient today with those who are. And then look at the Lord and know that He's ever ready to be your God. God has promised to bless and multiply us. He has promised in His word that the day is coming when we will be even as He is. The day is coming when there will be no more tears or reason for tears. There'll be no more sorrow or reason for sorrows. God Himself will be the light of the place where we will be. Think about this. We won't even need the sunlight anymore because God's glory is brighter. Oh yeah, we're headed for a day. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Psalm 136 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." I'm going to read the whole thing. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." God points out here at the beginning that He is good and He is merciful. He is good and He is merciful. I heard somebody telling a story earlier about not understanding how God could be merciful to somebody who would be a murderer. And I remember one time going and visiting a man in the hospital, and someone had asked us to go and pray for a relative of theirs, and we did. And while we were there, he said he didn't believe in a God who could forgive a murderer. He didn't want anything. He didn't want the prayer. He didn't want to be bothered with any of that. And see, God is merciful to all. Don't let your misunderstanding of God make you go astray from a God who is so good that He's even tolerated all of your mess, because none of us deserve His goodness. None. You may not have killed anybody. You may not have done anything that you think is so bad. Here's the deal. All of us were bad enough to go to hell when we were born into this world. You better give the Lord some praise that He is good and His mercy endureth forever. "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever." God is Lord and God above all. There is nothing and no one who can measure up to God. God says, "I'm the God over all. I'm the Lord over all. And none can work miracles like I can. None can perform the wonders that need to be performed but God." There is nobody that can do some of the things that you need done. You need a miracle. And God is saying, "I'm the one." Let's look at God today. Come on. And then let's read these next few verses. "To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever." And so now this section shows us that He's the creator. That all things are made by Him. Hello, somebody. It says that if it's been made, God made it. If you see it, God did it. If you know it, it's because of something God did. So God is saying, not only am I the God of God, not only am I good, not only am I merciful, not only am I above all, but then I made it all. Come on, somebody, let's look at Him. Let's look at Him. And so then let's look at the next set of verses. It says, "To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endureth forever." Now we find out God is a deliverer. We find out that there's nothing too hard for God. We find out that no matter the trouble, no matter how deep the trouble, how long you've been in the trouble, God is able to bring you out. No matter what the resistance is to His bringing you out, God is able to bring you out. No matter what walls have been thrown up, no matter what lies have been told, no matter what reports you've had, God is able to deliver you. Some folks say that you can't be delivered from drugs without going on some program. I want you to know that if you cry out to God, He will deliver you. There are sexual you to know that God said he will deliver you. There is no fog, no force, no power as great as the God who can set you free. Somebody need to help me today give God some thanks. He said, I'm good, I'm merciful, I'm greater than everybody and everything. I created it all, and I can deliver you no matter what. Nothing takes God by surprise. I need somebody to give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Verse 15. Love this verse. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. God said, not only did I deliver you out of the hand of the enemy, but I destroyed it so that you would see it no more. I need somebody to give the Lord some praise right now. God says, not only did I deliver you out of it, but you don't have to face it ever again. See, some people start to worry about, well, you know, I really did that and I wanted to do it and it was really strong in me. Are these people really strong? God says, listen, I can destroy it. I can set you free and then destroy it. It will never come nigh your dwelling again. I need somebody to give the Lord some praise. Okay, then he goes on to verse 16. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. And so I love this verse because if you know anything about the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness, they were rebellious. They were God-forsaking. They were complaining and murmuring against their leader and God. And my Bible says, and he led them through the wilderness. Why? Because his mercy endured forever. You know what this verse tells me? That God deals with me according to the integrity of his heart and not the iniquity of my heart. The integrity of his heart and not the iniquity of my heart. For his mercy endureth forever. God is good to me when I'm the meanest. God is good to me on what I call my best day. Because he is good and he's good alone. I need somebody to give him some praise. Now watch these next few verses. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. God, hallelujah, said, I took them through the wilderness, even though they were a God-forsaking people. I took them through the wilderness. I gave them the land that I promised them, and I did it in spite of the enemy that occupied the land. God said, I let nothing hinder their way. I let nothing cut off their blessings. Ooh! Y'all know what y'all sing that song. Somebody, if it's mine, it's mine. I forgot how it goes. But listen, if God promised it, it's in the bank. If God promised it, you can count on this thing because God cannot lie. God said, I promised them and I gave to them even as I promised. Why? Because my heart toward them is real and right. God is on your side today, honey child. Even in your messiness, God is on your side today because God is going to sanctify you out of that messiness. Somebody need to give the Lord some thanks. God purged them while they were in the wilderness and then took them to the place that he had always promised. That place was promised not to the rebellious. Ooh-wee, that's a word right there. It was promised not to the rebellious, but to the willing and the obedient. God purged the rebellious and he kept his word because it was always to the willing and obedient. I need somebody to give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He says, even an heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Now watch this. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. God didn't pass you by in your low estate. I'm always reminded of the scripture. where God says, when you were thrown out, talking to Israel, when you were thrown out in the blood of your birth, when you were counted unworthy, when you were counted not worth saving, when you were thrown away to die, when nobody thought you were worthy, when nobody looked at you and could see your worth and your value, I picked you up, cleaned you up. You better give him some praise. Picked you up, cleaned. You better say thank God. Picked you up, cleaned you. I need to thank the Lord. Stop just sitting there. Thank you, Jesus. He picked you up. You need to tell him thank you. Picked you up, cleaned you up, and then dressed you up. Gave you his presence. Imparted his divine nature to you. Sanctified you with the blood of his, of Jesus. Sanctified you with his own son's blood. Anointed you. Do you hear this? God said, I remembered you in your lowest state when you were not worthy in anybody's eyesight, including your own. When you thought you'd never change, I saw the change. Ooh, we are loving me some God right now. When you didn't think you would change, God said, I saw you change. When everybody wrote you off, I saw you whole. I saw you complete. I remembered you. I didn't pass over you. I picked you up, cleaned you up, dressed you up. You better say thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And have redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Jesus broke the back of sin and death forever. Ah! Can never overpower you again. You have to go away from God in order to even participate. He said he broke the power of sin and death over your life. In other words, sin has no more power over you. Death has no more power over you. God has delivered you from your enemy, not for a season, but forever. God has delivered you to the point that he has written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life before time, saw you coming, wrote your name down in that, and then is executing his will in your life. Somebody need to tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. And then after all of that, God said, oh, give thanks. No, I forgot one verse, okay? Who has given food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. And see, nobody will ever be able to say God had favorites. Oh, I know some of us think we're favorites. And I said, oh, yeah, I know you think you're a favorite because you don't cuss, because you pray every day, because you fast all the time. I know you think you're a favorite because you always get it right with your line. See, I mean, you always get it right. I know some of you think that. But none of us are deserving. The Lord says, I feed all flesh. He said, I feed all flesh. Everybody has an opportunity. Right up to the last day of Jesus' ministry, Judas was still at the table. I need somebody to hear that. He was at the table. When he chose the other 11, he chose Judas the same time. I heard Regina preach a message one time where she said, God went out after praying all night and picked Judas. Somebody ought to pay attention. Somebody ought to pay attention. Judas was going to have as much opportunity as anybody else to get saved. And up to the last moment, he could have turned, but he didn't because it wasn't in him to turn. Some people are never going to turn. But God is going to show his mercy so that in that great and notable day, in that great and notable day of the Lord, none will be able to say, but you didn't give me a chance, because he's given all of us the opportunity. So God says, I'm good and I'm merciful. I'm the Lord of Lords and I'm the King of Kings. I'm the creator and I'm the maker of it all. I'm the one who delivers you out of it all. Is anybody home today? I'm just loving me some Jesus today. And I delivered you, and not only did I deliver you, but I wiped out your opposition. And then I kept you while you were being silly. And then I got rid of everybody that was the silly that were never going to repent. I love Jesus. And then I gave you everything that I promised your fathers. Hallelujah. 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 And I remembered you in your lowest state. I remember you at the lowest point of your life. I didn't overlook you. I didn't leave you. You know, some people feel overlooked today. Get over it. God doesn't overlook anybody. Some people overlook you. So what? But God has never overlooked you. I'm not making light of it. I'm just telling you, don't allow what somebody thinks of you and how you've been made to feel about yourself distract you from the fact that you have a God who says, when you were your meanest, your lowest, your dirtiest, I saw you and I picked you up. And then the last verse says, oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Father, I just thank you. Give thanks unto the Lord for his mercy, his goodness. His goodness toward you is forever. God's not turning it on and off. He's not keeping a record book on you and saying, oh, he's been bad today or she's been bad today, so no mercy today. He's not doing that. He's good every day. They laid down last night. They didn't give me thanks. They woke up this morning, went about their business. They weren't even thinking about me. They just barely remembered to make it to service today. And then some of them were sitting there distracted today. And God is not saying, he's not looking at you and he's not keeping a record because he is good. He is being good to us, every one of us. And so whoever you are, wherever you are, trust that the Lord is keeping you. Trust that the Lord is on your side. Trust that the Lord has picked you up on purpose and is on purpose taking you forward. God is not overlooking the hardships of 2020. He's not doing that. What he is saying, in spite of these things, I have a blessing and a life for you, a future for you that will outshine the darkness and the troubles of 2020 or any other time in your life. Trust God today and the integrity of his heart. Father, I want to bless you for all who are listening today. And I mean those who are really hearing what you say. Dear God, you said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I believe, Lord God, you are calling the church to the place where we will lift our eyes and behold you as the God of gods, as the Lord of lords. We will behold you, Lord God, in all of your beauty, in all of your glory, in all of your holiness. We will behold you, Lord God, in your heart's desire and your will toward us. Oh God, I believe that you are calling the church, Lord God, to say once and for all, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In my life, in my family's life, in our church life. Everywhere we go, your will, your rule, your plan, your desire be done in our lives. Oh God, I pray for the broken today. Oh yeah, there are people who are listening today who are not reconciled with some brokenness in their lives. And for whatever reason, I pray, Lord God, that they would look at this scripture and ponder it today, Father God, and realize that you are saying to each and every one, no thing has happened to any one of us so bad that you will not undo it and bring life and wholeness to that life. Peace and joy. Rejoice in the Lord, I say. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. So wherever people are finding themselves today, Father, I pray that people will rejoice. Wherever you may be, whatever your situation is today, rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord. And watch the Lord lift your heart, lift your spirit to another dimension of praise and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, God bless each and every one of you, because I believe with all my heart, God wants you to see him and him alone today. Amen. Talk to you.